Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
It's the Growing in Grace podcast at growingingrace.org. Thanks for checking us out here at growingingrace.org or on whatever podcasting app you're on. You can find us basically, I'm not sure how you found us, but if you want to find us again, if for some reason we get lost, you can go to growingingrace.org or simply just type in Growing in Grace on a podcasting app and make sure you find the one with Mike and Joel. I am that Joel Brzezicki, along with Mike Kapler, the Cap. We aim to encourage and to help you in your understanding of the love and the grace of God. That's what we've been about for almost 20 years here, and we thank you again for coming along. And this week we're going to be talking about the surety of what we have in Christ and how solid and secure our standing with Him is. And I believe this is going to be an encouraging episode.
I went many years as a younger Christian, Joel, came to the saving knowledge of Jesus as a youngster, and I went through a couple of decades of thinking that as a saved person, I might end up being unsaved if I didn't watch all my P's and Q's.
Right.
You know, that's just the mindset I was in. I don't know. I can't really sit here and specify how I came to that mindset or, you know, if it was communicated to me through religious teaching or what, or if I was just, you know, as a young person caught up in the whole doing thing. I think about it, but I don't spend too much time on it, because if there's something to be gained from thinking on it, then I think I would do it more. But I think there are a lot of people out there, though, today, unfortunately, who have been perhaps considered themselves Christians for a long time, and they're more than grown up now, and they continue to struggle with what I struggled with when I was younger, you know, along these lines, wondering where you stand with God in any given moment, any given week or month. Do I need to get baptized again? Do I need to rededicate my life again, reclaim my faith again to God, confess all my sins again to God, and start over? I mean, is that what this thing is based on? See, that's kind of some of the muck that I was mired in for a long time. And I know probably one place we're going to end up here is in Hebrews 7. And just based on our last couple of programs, I think this is a good place to take this, because we were talking about the Jews and the Gentiles and how one group, the Jews, were pursuing or at least attempting to pursue righteousness through what they did, through a law of works and commandments and stone tablets, and they never got there. They couldn't do it. And then those who were doing the opposite of that, not pursuing any of that stuff through the law or what they did, they attained righteousness. That's the beauty of the gospel of grace. Mm-hmm. And I know it upsets the religious people. Maybe someday we can talk about it again. But, you know, it's something I dedicated a whole chapter in my book to, the lost son or the prodigal son. You had the older brother and the younger brother. And boy, the older brother, he did not appreciate the younger one being let off the hook, you know. And he was out there doing all this stuff while he stayed behind and took care of the ranch. And I think there's a lot of people out there like that. But it's unfortunate. And we've received letters from people who wonder where they stand with God. They just feel like they're in a place of darkness. And it's really sad. That's not what this is supposed to be. When are we going to stop and realize what it means to have a Savior? He is a Savior. He saves people. And something that you can get into here, Joel, as I hand it over to you, is it's not our salvation, our standing with God, our righteousness. It's not based on anything that we do that would allow us to get there. It's not based on any of that. So what makes us think that there's something we can do to lose that? It's a little mind-boggling at how little people really understand about this beautiful gospel.
Yeah, well, he saves people who can't save themselves. I mean, that's what being saved is. You cannot save yourself, so somebody has to come in and save you. If you're, I always pictured, I used to live across the street from a river, and just down from where I lived, just a few blocks down, there was a dam. And if you went over that, you could get into some pretty turbulent water. But I just had always pictured, you know, because we would go out and swim in there. I don't want to get too close to that because I might get caught in that, and I would need someone to come and save me because
you would be damned. In other words.
Right on, exactly. And I wouldn't be able to save myself. I would need somebody else to do that. And so, if somebody would come along and save me, just going along with this, I couldn't say that I had done it myself. Somebody else did it, and that's somebody else who was capable of doing what I couldn't do. And that's the same. Oh, by the way, you mentioned your book, and I just want to bring this out. I just want to let people know in case they're not familiar. Clash of the Covenants is the name of the book, Escaping Religious Bondage Through the Grace Guarantee. And if you want to get that book, it's available on Amazon. Clash of the Covenants, Escaping Religious Bondage Through the Grace Guarantee. And it's a guarantee of grace. It's a guarantee. It's something that we, again, if I were to make a guarantee, it won't necessarily stand. But if God makes a guarantee, it does stand. You mentioned Hebrews, and that's where we're going to go. In Hebrews 6, it says, when God made a promise to Abraham, and because he could swear by no one greater, it says in Hebrews 6:13, he swore by himself. In other words, if you're going to make an oath, the writer here says, if a man makes an oath, if in verse 16, men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation for them is the end of all dispute. So if a person makes an oath, that's the end of all dispute. I've made an oath. But God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, he confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. The point of that is that God cannot lie. He made an oath to himself. He swore by himself. And that's what this salvation that we have is based upon. That's what this promise that he made to Abraham, which the promise was going to be salvation by grace through faith, justification by faith, not by works. And God made that oath to himself. He cannot lie. And so it's an oath that we can rely upon. It has a guarantee that it's guaranteed. It's something that we cannot break ourselves because God made the oath to himself. And so this salvation that we have is something that we received, again, by grace, by God's grace, through faith. And if we received this gift of salvation apart from anything that we have done, then what makes us think that we can lose this salvation by anything that we do? Because again, it's not based upon what we do. It has nothing to do with what we do. It's based upon God's promise that he made to himself, and of course, the shed blood of Jesus, as Hebrews also goes on to talk about. It's really a great section of Hebrews there. I was reading from like the last part of Hebrews 6, and if you go into 7, 8, 9, and 10, it's just really good stuff there about the guarantee and the surety of what we have in Christ. But you'll find in there all these, you know, sometimes, you know, you do bad things. You know, you do things that you know you're not supposed to do or you shouldn't do. And like you were talking about, Cap, I had the same type of thing where I had a period in my life where I was very works-based, and I was worried that if I did this or did that, or even didn't do certain things that I was supposed to do, that I might lose this salvation. I was walking on glass a lot of the times. I just wasn't sure. I didn't have surety. I wasn't assured of my salvation because I knew that I did some wrong things sometimes and didn't do all the things that I thought I was supposed to do. I came to learn eventually what we're talking about here, that we have the guarantee of our salvation, and it's based not upon what we do or don't do. It's based fully upon what he did. And Hebrews really brings this out, and a lot of Paul's epistles bring this out, but we can rest assured. We can rest in him. It's rest that he came to give us, not a whole bunch of being jittery or being worried about whether we're going to end up saved or not. We can rest assured in salvation.
Yeah, and you know, Paul or whoever wrote the book of Hebrews says this in the next chapter. What we're talking about here really is it's all based on this new covenant that God has established through the Son. Remember what God said in Isaiah, I will, in a prophetic statement, I will give you as a covenant to the people, and you'll be a light to the Gentiles. Wow. For on the one hand, 7:18 in Hebrews, on the one hand, there is a setting aside of a former commandment, the law, the commandments. It was set aside. We've got this going on because of its weakness and uselessness. Think about that. New American Standard here. We've been talking the last few weeks about some of this stuff. Pursuing righteousness through the law, through what you do, through works, and not attaining it. Well, so we have this former commandment, which was weak and useless, but it was set aside because the requirement was perfection. But the law, verse 19, the law made nothing perfect. And on the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. This is the better hope. You know, it's different than saying draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. That's an old covenant kind of thing. Here we have a better hope in which we draw near to God that is immovable. It's guaranteed. It's like you said, Joel, God could swear by nobody greater than himself, so it's not a covenant that could fail like the other one did. And in this, it's not without an oath, verse 20 of Hebrews 7. For they indeed became priests under the law. They became priests without an oath, but he, Jesus, with an oath, through the one who said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind, you are a priest forever. So much the more also, Jesus has become the guarantee or the surety of a better covenant. Better, because it can't fail, because it's not up to you and me. Those former priests who came from the tribe of Levi, on the one hand, they existed in greater numbers because they were prevented by death from continuing. They died, new priests came along. But Jesus, on the other hand, because he continues forever, holds his priesthood permanently. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost or forever those who draw near to God through him. That's how we draw near to God, through Christ, since he always lives to make intercession for them. At the end of this chapter, just a few verses later, the law appoints men as high priests who are weak, but the word of the oath, which you were talking about, Joel, which came after the law, it came after the law, it appoints a son made perfect forever. And something we've brought out in the past is ultimately what this passage is telling us is Jesus didn't come from the tribe of the Levites. That was the tribe that the priest came from under the law. But since the law was put aside and Jesus came from the tribe of Judah, through the promise or the oath, he was declared a high priest forever, able to save forever. It's an eternal redemption, the next chapter tells us, and that's what's been established for those who will choose to believe instead of trying to get there on your own through what you do and other religious sources.
Yeah, it's just this covenant does not fail, cannot fail. It cannot fail. The way in which you have been saved cannot fail because God did it. I mean, well, think of it. Maybe think of it this way. Before, just think about maybe before you were saved, you had done some good things in your life. You might have done some bad things, maybe a lot of bad things, but you know you did some good things. But those good things didn't make you righteous. You were still a sinner in need of a Savior. those good things didn't save you, because it was, you were saved by grace, and it was through faith, and it was apart from anything that you've ever done, apart from your works. But then, now as a believer, yeah, sometimes you do some bad things. You do some things that aren't right. But remember that your salvation is not based upon and is not held together by you constantly doing good things, making sure that you never do anything bad, making sure that you never sin. It, again, we've always said, it's good to do good. It's not good to not do good. We're not encouraging sinful behavior of any kind. We never have. We talked about that last week.
Don't you think, though, Joel, don't you think that when people get focused on that, the problem is, I think, sometimes we undermine the cross.
Right.
We limit the cross. We sell it short.
And we talked a little bit about that last week, where it's not about focusing on doing good and not doing bad. I just, you know, some people in their minds, it just raises up in their mind, oh, they're talking about, like you had said, you could just do anything you want. But obviously we're not talking about that. And I think that, unfortunately, that mindset gets into people, and it causes them, and it leads them to believe that if they do, quote, bad things, then they're going to perhaps lose this salvation that they had, that they gained not by anything they ever did. Unfortunately, we have that mindset pretty prevalent in the church. And so what we're trying to encourage people in is that you've been saved by grace through faith, apart from anything you do, and it's by what God has done. It can be easy in our feeble minds sometimes to really grasp this, that God did it. It was the blood of Jesus. It was God's oath, God who cannot lie, making an oath, swearing by himself, because he could swear by nobody greater, because there's nobody greater than God. And it rests upon that, not upon what we do or don't do. That's why we can have surety. That's why our salvation is guaranteed. That's why Hebrews 7 says he is able to save to the uttermost. That's the King James. English Standard says he is able to save to the uttermost. New International Version is able to save completely those who come to God through him. The NASB is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him. New Living Translation, the NLT, he is able once and forever to save those who come to God through him. The point, however it's worded, is that it's secure and it's guaranteed and it's forever. It's, he saves to the uttermost. He doesn't just do a poor job, you know, just a, hey, you know, I'll do what I can to save you guys, but part of it's going to be up to you. No, he does it. It's God's work that he has done, and it's sure, it's solid, and we're secure in him.
And I know we're going just a little long here, but Joel, while it's on my mind, think back to the rich young ruler who was under the law. He was a Jewish fella under the law, and he came to Jesus and said, what must I do to be saved? You know, if you start reading into it, really Jesus told him, here's how you're going to save yourself. Mm-hmm. Do the law, do all of it, and then you'll be good. And he thought maybe he was doing all of it, but then Jesus pointed out in a sort of subtle way that he wasn't. And he walked away sad, because he was trying to save himself through what he did. That isn't what we're talking about. Obviously, we're talking about a Savior who saves forever. He did the saving, and he maintains that.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brzezicki, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.